Sask Ag Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Ag Today. Coming up on today's program, Saskatchewan has announced that we've exported an awful lot of goods to Vietnam over the past year. We'll tell you how much. A new report on the food and beverage industry predicts grocery inflation will fall below 2% by the spring and stay roughly between 1% and 2% for the rest of the year. That's in a report from Farm Credit Canada, which we will have more details on today. The Western Dairy Expo started this morning in Saskatoon with nearly 200 Holsteins and 40 Jerseys from the Three Prairie provinces competing. We'll hear from one of the out-of-the-province exhibitors, Lee Simonton, with Crestemere Holsteins west of Ponoka, Alberta. And while February was warm and drier than normal, March was sort of the opposite. Environment Canada meteorologist Natalie Hazel will tell us about what the month was like temperature-wise and precipitation-wise. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist. Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. It's time now for the Beef and Forage Report, and that's a presentation of Bumper to Bumper in Lanchenburg and Rokenville, your auto parts professionals. Let them find the parts no one else can. Open 8 to 6, Monday to Saturday. Call 306-743-2332.
Beef and Forage Report.
Several U.S. states have restricted cattle imports from states that have seen infections of avian influenza type A H5N1 in dairy herds. According to the American Veterinary Medical Association, the 17 states restricting imports include Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Delaware, Florida, Hawaii, Idaho, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Nebraska, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Utah, and West Virginia. There are no federal plans to issue quarantine orders at this time. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service said on April 2nd it is not recommending state quarantines or official hold orders on cattle. However, they strongly recommend minimizing movement of cattle as much as possible, with special attention to evaluating risk and factoring that risk into movement decisions. And that's today's Beef and Forage Report. It's time now for the AgriView portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, AgriView.
While the start of this week saw canola futures on the Intercontinental Exchange trade in a very narrow range, broker Jamie Wilton of R.J. O'Brien in Winnipeg says that could soon change. Wilton says canola will take direction from the next monthly report from the United States Department of Agriculture. The World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, or WASD, were scheduled to be published today. As to which direction canola would take, Wilton says it depends on what the report says. The April report is largely expected to be stand pat, as the USDA will use acreage estimates from earlier this year. The latest forecasts for planted acres are set to be included in the May WASD report. Dairy farmers in the United States are raising their defenses to try to contain the spread of bird flu. Banning visitors, cutting down trees to discourage wild birds from landing, and disinfecting vehicles coming onto their land. North Carolina on Wednesday became the seventh state to report an outbreak of highly pathogenic avian influenza in a dairy herd after the U.S. Department of Agriculture confirmed infections in Texas, Kansas, Ohio, Michigan, Idaho, and New Mexico. While the first cases appear to have been introduced to herds in Texas and Kansas by wild birds, the USDA said transmission among cattle was also possible. Agricultural officials in Michigan and Ohio said infected herds in those states received cattle from Texas. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is canceling its July cattle inventory report as well as county-level estimates for crops and livestock, citing budget constraints. While the USDA will still release a cattle inventory report each January, the July update has been of particular interest to traders in recent years as the U.S. beef cattle herd shrank to its smallest size in decades due to drought. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association, a trade group representing cattle producers, called on the USDA to reverse its decision. The USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service also announced it was discontinuing its objective yield survey for cotton, as well as all county estimates for crops and livestock, beginning with the 2024 production year. A U.S. government weather forecaster expects about a 60% chance of the La Nina weather pattern, characterized by unusually cool temperatures in the Pacific Ocean, emerging in the second half of 2024. There is an 85% chance that a transition from El Nino to ENSO neutral is likely to occur by April to June. It says the end of El Nino would take away the vertical wind shear that tends to reduce the number of storms in the Atlantic basin. Further, warm ocean temperatures should facilitate the formation of stronger storms. India is expected to see a normal monsoon in 2024, promising some respite after a prediction of more than normal heat wave days in the summer preceding the June to September rainy season. Meanwhile, Japan's Weather Bureau said on Monday there was an 8% chance of the El Nino phenomenon ending during the Northern Hemisphere spring. Space food doesn't have to mean tang and pureed meat in a tube, with a North Vancouver company instead coming up with a menu including mushroom bacon and fresh strawberries to win a contest to devise ways to make food beyond Earth. Equation Innovative Solutions has won the Deep Space Food Challenge with their CanGrow modular food production system and will receive $380,000 in funding as the grand prize winner in the contest, hosted by the Canadian Space Agency and NASA. The CEO of Equation says his team aims to make astronauts feel like they're dining in a five-star restaurant with a menu featuring steak substitute, a mixed salad, and fresh strawberries for dessert. A joint statement from the Canadian Space Agency and NASA says the CanGrow system has the potential to sustain astronauts during long space missions while also addressing food security in isolated communities on Earth. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free. And that's today's Ag Review. It's time now to head it back out once again to Danny Ismond.
Well, we are located at Fun Motorsports in Yorkton, and you know you're going to be in town for that Spring Expo this weekend. You got to pop on by, okay? So they're open Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, Saturday 9 to 5, so lots of time to come in here. 86 7th Avenue South. You can't miss us. And again, you want some deals, you're going to find them here. How about select 2023 Can-Am side-by-side and ATVs up to $5,800 off, or 1.99% financing OAC. So that's nice, right? That's a good start standpoint. You want a 2024s, they have a great selection of those as well. And I can tell you this, they have some custom builds here for you as well. And one of the ones that's a real head turner is that Maverick R, a brand new model. This thing has everything, 35-inch tires, the light bar, the audio roof with the sub, the windshield, 240 horsepower. So you want to come and see what that's about, definitely do so. Or if you're getting ready for the lake this summer and you want to have some fun on the water, they have all your Sea-Doo products here. 2023s, you can save up to $2,000 off. And of course, they have a great selection of the 2024s to choose from too, and up to 75% off life jackets, shorts, rash guards, sunglasses, and other Sea-Doo apparel too. So if you have questions, give them a call, 306-783-6340. You have a couple of days to stop on by here. It is 86 7th Avenue South. We are Fun Motorsports in Yorkton.
Welcome back to Saskag Today. I'm Doug Faulkner. It's mainly sunny and 7 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. A new report on the food and beverage industry predicts grocery inflation will fall below 2% by the spring and stay roughly between 1 and 2% for the rest of 2024. Farm Credit Canada says it expects food price increases beyond 2024 to stabilize around pre-pandemic levels as the pressures driving prices higher are easing. The outlook for food and beverage manufacturers this year is more positive than last year, though some sectors still face headwinds amid elevated interest rates and tighter household budgets. The organization's annual food and beverage report offers up forecasts for consumer spending, as well as specific food items such as sugar and flour. Canada's annual inflation rate was 2.8% in February, and grocery prices were one of the main factors pushing it lower. Grocery inflation was 2.4% that month, down from 3.4% in January, as the cost of many items declined year over year. However, slowing inflation doesn't mean prices overall are dropping. Statistics Canada notes in its latest release that between February 2021 and February 2024, grocery prices rose 21.6%. As they grapple with higher prices, not just on food but on shelter and other daily costs, Canadians have been trying to cut back their spending on food and beverages. They've been buying more items on sale, gravitating toward less expensive brands, buying more canned and frozen foods, shopping more at discount retailers, and simply buying less food. As shoppers have become more price-sensitive, FCC says processors have been responding by modifying package sizing and substituting less expensive inputs. Canadians have also been cutting back on alcohol. It forecasts a decline in alcohol sales and manufacturing volumes this year. The report says some food products are expected to go down in price this year, such as flour, after a sharp increase over the last couple of years. This will translate to lower bakery and tortilla manufacturing selling prices by the end of the year, but not so for sugar and cocoa. The sugar and confectionery manufacturing sector faces significant headwinds due to problems with global production. Cocoa prices hit a high in 2023 not seen in 46 years and continue to accelerate. The report offers up a relatively positive outlook for food and beverage manufacturers. Many of the inputs that have been driving up costs at the manufacturing level, like fuel, transportation, and packaging costs, have seen prices increase slower or even decrease. That's why food and beverage sales are predicted to fall 1.4% in 2024, but gross margins are expected to improve.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 173.90 today. That's up 105. August live cattle closed at 171.45, up 80. May feeder cattle closed at 238.15. That's up 162. August feeder cattle closed at 248.95, up 135. May lean hogs closed at 97.30, up 75. June lean hogs closed at 105.80, up 25. And that's the livestock market conditions. The Western Dairy Expo started this morning in Saskatoon with nearly 200 Holsteins and 40 Jerseys from the three Prairie provinces competing. One of the out-of-province exhibitors is Lee Simonton with Crestamere Holsteins west of Pinoca, Alberta.
I run a dairy. We milk about 110 Holstein cows. Farm with my parents, me and my mom and dad, and then my wife is a dairy nutritionist, and we have two kids there. So, yeah, we run a little beef operation as well, just starting to get it started. But, yeah, that's the dairy aspect of it.
As for their feed,
we grow all our alfalfa, barley silages, corn silages, yes.
Simonton tells us why he decided to come to Saskatoon this week.
Well, I mean, it's a fun industry to be part of, and I love showing cows. But the one thing about it is we're all here to compete, but we're also here to support each other. So lots of people from Manitoba, Saskatchewan, BC travel out to Alberta to come to the shows that are close to home for me. So I figured, we got to have that support system. So when I heard that there was a show being held in Saskatoon, I jumped at the opportunity to come out and help support a show out here as well. And it's just something we love doing. It's part of our everyday life of breeding and knowing genetics of Holstein cattle. So you get out and you compete a little bit and you can see what everybody else is using as sires go and what kind of cows are in Western Canada.
He says there aren't many dairy shows left in Alberta.
We're down to two at the moment. We have the summer show in Rimby in June, and then the Westerner wrap-up show in Red Deer at the Westerner. We're down a few, but those two seem to still be going very strong.
Simonton talks about where dairy cattle are situated in Alberta.
There's pockets. So, yeah, like Lacombe, Pinoca, central Alberta is very populated. There's a large pocket down at the Lethbridge area, and there's a large pocket up at the Barrhead area. And then, yeah, like, they're scattered throughout the province, but those would be the main pockets of dairy.
He admits they haven't been suffering from drought for the past few years.
We've been so blessed the last couple of years. We have been on a little stretch where we got every little shower, every little rain, and it definitely held us through the last couple of years. But it has been dry overall in Alberta. There's pockets that have been a little wetter and thriving a little more, but it's been dry enough, and we've just hit the right showers at the right time to make the right yielding crops.
Simonton says they brought their kids to Saskatoon for the Dairy Expo.
Yeah, so this is the first time we've brought our two kids for the full week of the show. So, yeah, they're here. They're going to compete in the peewee classes. They're still pretty young. Ava's just about five, and Easton turns two on show day, actually. So, but they're gonna partake in the peewee class, and they're loving every minute of it here at the barns. So.
He says he loves their enthusiasm.
Yeah, it's awesome to see. And, I mean, I remember the days of running around here at the Saskatoon exhibition as well. So it's just memories of how I grew up, and I want that same opportunity for my kids.
Simonton has noticed there's a lot of young people at the Dairy Expo this week.
Yeah, it's it's actually thriving. The industry is thriving in the West, and I mean, a lot of these people I grew up with, and a lot of them go through 4-H and WCC, and you get to meet so many people, and you become lifelong friends. So specifically this show, it's the first show of the season, so it's just good to see everyone after a long winter on the prairies. And yeah, there's all ages, from young kids to, you know, my age and even older are taking part in it.
As for what makes a champion dairy cow, he offers his opinion.
Just balance. I love the balance that some of these champions over the years have possessed. You got to have balance, and then the mammary system has to be on point. I love a big high wide rudder with a good four rudder. But today's champions are a little different than they were back in, you know, the 90s. I think cows have become just more balanced, more proportionate in size. They're not these big 67-inch cows anymore. A lot of farms have gone to freestalls and robotic systems, so those big 67-inch cows, they don't last quite as easy in those types of systems. So I like a 61 to 63-inch cow that has a great set of legs and a spectacular mammary system.
Simonton says dairy cattle and beef cattle aren't always treated the same way when it comes to preparing them for a show.
Well, you see, some of the same equipment, we just use it differently. Like, we're taking the hair off and putting a top line on where the beef guys blow it up and want that hair to be dry and fluffy so that the animal looks thick. And we're doing basically the opposite. We want that refined dairy kind of cow. So you take the hair off of them and it shows their bone quality a little easier. But very much similar equipment, yes.
And he offers these final comments.
I think the dairy business in general is doing very well. It's we're coming up with new ideas and new theories on milk. The A2 product, one of the examples of that. And here in Saskatoon, it's just great to see the show back here, and I just applaud everybody that had something to do with it. The committee that put this show together, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of hours, and it's not a lot of pay. So thank you for your volunteer time, and we're very happy to be here.
Lee Simonton is with Crestamere Holsteins west of Ponoka, Alberta. He's in Saskatoon for the Western Dairy Expo, which runs today through Saturday at the Prairieland Ag Center in Saskatoon. It's time now for the Heartland Livestock Report from Yorkton.
Good afternoon, folks. Here's your HLS Yorkton Market Report for the week ending April 12th. We ran 1,772 head across the scale in our pre-sort and another 427 in the slaughter sale, giving us a total of 2,199 for the day. We had a good selection of cattle this week, and the top-cut cattle were definitely in higher demand. The market was up on most classes. Here are some highlights. On the steer trade, 418-pound black steers, 489, 503-pound red exotic steers, 477, 565-pound red Angus steers, 445 and a quarter, 646-pound black steers, 408.75, 720-pound tan steers, 375.75, 864-pound exotic steers, 339.50, 926-pound tan steers, 308.50, 1,014-pound exotic steers. They weigh or come in at 297. On the heifer trade, 420-pound black heifers at 404, 506-pound red exotic heifers at 380, 560-pound tan heifers, 370.5, 637-pound red Angus heifers, 345.5, 705-pound black heifers, 329, 869-pound exotic heifers, 298, and 950-pound tan heifers at 278. On the cow and bull trade, we sold on a higher demand this week. D1, D2 cows, 160 to 180, sales to 188.5, D3 cows, 140 to 155, thin, shelly, older, blemish cows, 80 cents to $1.20. Our cows averaged 159.30. Big, hard bulls, 170 to 190, sales to 208 and a quarter, with medium bulls at 160 to 170. Our bulls averaged 180, 115. Pre-sort sale next week starting to fill up, so please remember to book your cattle in. We will not turn you away, we just need to know in order to prepare the buyers. Also, as some of you have heard, Harvey will be away for some time. Please direct your calls to the office, Junior, or myself, so we can let Harvey rest. Our wishes are with him, Faye, and his family on a great recovery. Also, reminder, we will no longer be holding sheep or goat sales. Our sister market in Verdon is now holding monthly sales, so please contact them or Brennan and his team if you are looking to market your sheep and goats. This has been Carter with your HLS Yorkton Market Report. Have a great day, and thank you for being a part of our industry.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. May canola closed at $6.24.30, down $14.50. July canola closed at $6.35.70, down $13.40. May Minneapolis wheat closed at $6.37 per bushel, down 14¾ cents. May Kansas City wheat closed at 583¼, down 11¼ cents. May Chicago wheat closed at 551¾, down 6¾ cents. May corn closed at 428¾, down 5½ cents. May soybeans closed at 11.59¼, that's down 5½ cents. May oats closed at 3.47¾, up 10 cents. And that's the commodities update. It's time now to check in once again with Danny Ismond.
Well, we're at Fun Motorsports in Yorkton, and we're inviting you to come on down. Now, that's located 86 7th Avenue South, and right now we are joined with Elijah once again. And, you know, we were just talking about it. You guys have an awesome selection here for everybody.
It's insane. Yeah, like I've been here for just over 3 years, and we've never had inventory like this. All types of units, all different price points. It's just insane how much we have here.
Well, and that goes ATVs, side-by-sides, the Sea-Doos. I mean, there is something for everyone, and really, we're getting into that nice weather now. Everyone's starting to think about, you know, getting out and enjoying the outdoors.
Definitely, yeah. No matter what you're looking to do, we have something to do it. You know, work horse, play horse, anything. We have everything here. So,
well, and kind of just saying that, you know, you went through a flurry here at lunch. You got really busy all of a sudden, and it doesn't take long for, you know, an item or two to be gone. You also need a side-by-side's gone or an ATV. Mm-hmm. That selection is early bird gets the worm.
Oh, 100%. The interest is getting crazy. Obviously, the weather's getting warm, so stuff's moving pretty quick. Good deals, so.
All right, and if you have any questions for him, you can give him a call at 306-783-6340. You can pop in to 86 7th Avenue South, but make sure you do that when you're going to be in town as well for that Spring Expo. We'll see you here at Fun Motorsports in Yorkton.
Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. I'm Doug Faulkner. In 2023, Saskatchewan exported $46 million worth of agri-products to Vietnam. That's over tripling the increase in value from 2022. The most significant increase in value came from the export of non-durum wheat, which skyrocketed to $40.6 million from $3.7 million the previous year. Non-durum wheat was Saskatchewan's largest agri-food export in 2023, rising nearly 32%, to a total of $3.7 billion in worldwide exports. Other top agri-food exports to Vietnam include peas and purebred swine. Saskatchewan has invested heavily in Vietnam, establishing an international trade and investment office in the country to build relationships with stakeholders and encourage agri-food export growth. Saskatchewan's Vietnam office works with industry partners to trade missions and attend events like Vietstock. Through this engagement, the Saskatchewan Vietnam office attracts Vietnamese stakeholders to Saskatchewan to participate in events like Canadian Western Agribition in Regina. Vietnam is also party to the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership, which promotes free trade in the region. Saskatchewan has already surpassed its 2030 growth plan target of $20 billion in agri-food exports, with total shipments of $20.2 billion for 2023. Overall, the total value of Saskatchewan's agri-food exports increased nearly 10% over the previous year. And remember, Sask Ag Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose Sask Ag Today. And yes, it is free. It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today, a mix of sun and cloud, winds north-northwest at 15 to 25, and a high of 9 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy, winds northwest at 15 to 25, a low of minus 2. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of late day showers, winds southeast at 15 to 30, a high of 11, an overnight low of 0. For Saturday, partly to mainly sunny, winds west-northwest at 15 to 25, a high of 17. For Sunday, partly sunny, a high of 16, and Monday, a 50% chance of occasional showers, also a high of 16. In the Paw and Show Lake Russell, it's 7 degrees. Swan River and Brandon are at 10, Dauphin 9, Roblin 6. Regina and Indian Head are at 8 degrees. Saskatoon, Broadview, Mooseman 7. Hudson Bay 9. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 2. The Yorkton-Melville region has a mainly sunny sky. A northwest wind at 22, gusting to 35 kilometers an hour. 63% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 7 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for Sask Ag Today for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.